time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you stewards of the land. This is Jimmy Clark. Today in Ag, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. How are you guys today? I think it's getting colder out there. I don't know if it's just the moisture moving in or what, but it seems like it's getting colder out there. 40 degrees at Hollis, a warm spot in western Oklahoma right now. It's Grandfield at 48 degrees. Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon. 38 degrees, 36 at Arnett, 35 at Buffalo. Over there towards the east at Cherokee, it's 40 degrees. And Watonga, you're 43 degrees. Out here in the Panhandle, see what's happening out there. All in the 30s, basically. Lipscomb, 37. Miami's 37. Dozier's 38. And Wellington is 39 degrees. All right. Anything exciting happened to you guys? Since I talked to you yesterday? Anyway, just looks like we got some moisture moving in tonight. Hopefully, I don't know, they're saying up to a half inch, but the thing that's got me more concerned is the cooler weather coming in, the colder weather towards the end of next week, because that's when I start calving or getting close to calving. But anyway, it is what it is. We've been blessed this winter so far, not having much of a winter, but it's here now. Well, let's see what happened overnight in our agricultural world out here in the Midwest. Wheat futures were lower on favorable weather in the U.S. Southern Plains, where hard red winter wheat is overwintering. You ever guys ever wondered about that? They start docking the wheat when we have good weather, and the price goes up when we have bad weather because they know there's not going to be much of a harvest. So it's cheating, I think. Corn and beans were little changed. Storms were rolling into the southern plains, where up to 5 inches of snow are expected to fall in the next few days. The moisture will be well timed in southwestern Kansas and the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles, which have been dry the past week, according to the National Weather Service precipitation page. Rain and snow have mostly been plentiful in the region this growing season, and appears more precipitation is headed to the area. I think we got three storms coming in. Abundant moisture is forecast for the next 6 to 15 days in wheat growing areas of the Central Plains, Midwest, and Delta, which will benefit wheat grown in all three regions, according to the Commodity Weather Group said in a note to its clients. In the Black Sea region, snow in the next 10 days will offer wheat there a blanket of protection, according to the forecaster. Wheat for March delivery lost 3 pennies to $5.97 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Kansas City futures declined 3.5 to $6.18 a bushel. Corn futures were unchanged overnight at $4.65 a bushel. Soybean futures for March delivery fell 2 cents to $12.73 a bushel. Soy meal was up 10 cents to $380.50 a short ton. And soy oil lost 0.18 cents to 48.42 cents a pound. December weather was mixed for winter wheat producers, though timely precipitation in growing states, including Kansas, Colorado, Oklahoma, and Arkansas, gave the crop a boost, according to the report from the USDA. In Kansas, the biggest producer of winter wheat, about 43% of hard red winter crop was in the state was in good or excellent condition at the end of 2023. The agency said another 36% was in fair condition, while the remainder was in poor to very poor. An average of 2.7 inches of rain fell in Oklahoma last month, with about 3.4 inches recorded in west central counties. While no crop ratings was given, the U.S. Drought Monitor data showed that 22% of the state was suffering from drought conditions as of December 26. That's down from 47% 3 months ago and 90% a year earlier. In Colorado, 61% of the winter wheat crop was in good or excellent condition, up from 50% at the same point last year. Top soil moisture in the state was 55% adequate, while the rest was short or very short. Subsoil moisture was 54% adequate, with the remainder short or very short, according to the USDA. In Arkansas, where soft red winter wheat is grown, topsoil moisture was 69% surplus and 26% adequate. The government said only 5% was rated short. Subsoil moisture also was strong, with 66% in surplus and 29% adequate. Only 7% was short or very short, according to the USDA. Weather in our farm belt. Winter weather advisories have been issued for a large chunk of land stretching from south central Nebraska into Texas Panhandle, according to the National Weather Service. In western Kansas, up to 3 inches of snow is expected starting this afternoon. Some parts of eastern Colorado will see 5 inches of snow. 5 inches are also forecast for the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles. Roads and especially bridges and overpasses will likely become slick and hazardous. Plan on slippery road conditions. How about that? That's a new word for Jim Bonnick, slippery. Anyway, we'll see how that falls out. Anyway, I don't know if you guys have been South Carter on 34 Highway going towards Mangum here lately, but the new river bridge and the new slough bridge is completed. Seen yesterday that they're asphalting. If you get a chance, go down there and check this out. It didn't take them long to do it, really. I don't know what has been a year and a half, not quite 2 years on it, but I've seen that they were down there laying asphalt yesterday for the new highway. And anyway, it's amazing how much dirt they move. I think, my inside informant, 175,000 cubic yards of dirt they moved to build the road up and straighten that road out somewhat. That one curve down there by the slough bridge was deadly, and I know some people have passed away on that curve. And then one of the other things is farm equipment going up and down that road. To do it right, you actually needed a spotter going southbound on 34 to go across there, because those people come around that curve and you didn't know they was coming, and you had a swather or whatever out in the middle of that bridge, and bad things could happen really quick. So go out there and check out that new bridge and road they built in there. It's pretty cool. And I guess the old river bridge, part of it's coming here to Elk City and part of it's going to Clinton, the last I heard. Don't count me in on that, but I'm pretty sure that's what's happened. So it's one of the it is the last bridge of its kind on a major highway. There's still some on the blacktops, but on a major highway, I think that's the last of the banister bridges, the last I heard. Well, today is the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Cap Hour, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. As Oklahoma's largest general farm organization, with members in all 77 counties represented by 77 county farm bureaus, our work and efforts span of all agriculture as we work to ensure our state farmers and ranchers can focus on what they do best, growing and raising the most affordable, safe, and abundant food in the world. You can easily join the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau by going by their office in Cheyenne. Memberships are just $37.50 and come with many benefits like insurance, life insurance, farm free roadside assistance, and discounts with various businesses. 580-497-2579, 497-2579, or go to okfarmbureau.org to join. Anyway, it's a good organization to be part of. What else I got going on? Oh, the Hobart Stockyards will not be having their goat sheep sale this Saturday. They always have it on the first Saturday of the month, so I guess it'll be next month in February, so if you're planning on that. And then what else? Oh, Elk City Livestock Auction will be happening in the morning. Western Oklahoma will be going on Monday, and we'll see how things go at Hollis. I guess I need to get on their Facebook page and see if they're having a sale Saturday down at Hollis. But I think starting next week, everybody will be going on. Hobart Stockyards will be having their regular sale next Wednesday. Also, I was on their Facebook page earlier. It looks like if you're looking for some Longhorn steers, some nice ones, they're going to have three down there, and these are big boys. They're trophies. I know at least two of them are going to be trophies. But anyway, if you're looking for some Longhorn steers, you don't want to miss out on that one. Get on their Facebook page and check out the picture of the two that's on there. Pretty cool looking. I talked to Rex earlier, and he said that he would have three of them, and he knew for sure two of them were trophy Longhorns. They're really beautiful animals. So there you have it. Let's go ahead and take an Oklahoma Farm Bureau break. When I come back, we'll check out the up-to-date grain markets, see what the cattle are doing, and I don't know, we'll find something else to talk about. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Calling all rural residents of Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, are you tired of hauling off your own trash? Call D&G Trash Hauling. They can have a dumpster delivered to you in no time. D&G offers weekly or bi-weekly pickup in four different size dumpsters. You have a big job? D&G also has roll-offs available in several sizes. With D&G, you find affordable rates and no contracts. Satisfaction is always top priority. For more information, call D&G at 580-497-6950. That's 580-497-6950. Let D&G Trash get rid of your trash.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers with managing livestock risk protection. LRP is the cheapest way to establish a floor price for your cattle while leaving the top side open. Policies are available for calves, stocker cattle, and feed yard cattle, with no upfront costs or margin calls. For LRP and crop insurance, contact Andy or Codell at the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Hold on to your ag investment at nightlatch.com.
Congress in the heart of cattle country is far more than just a cattle show. See for yourself December 30th through January 11th at the fairgrounds in Oklahoma City. The newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer will be there. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and provides sales of elite genetics, something for every operation. And stop by on January 4th or 5th for a commercial cattlemen's luncheon from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For a full schedule, sale information, and everything you need to know, visit cattlemanscongress.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Speaking of Cattlemen's Congress, I got live update right here on the computer in front of me showing right now in the performance arena is class four of the Hereford Pin Show. And the Jim Norick Ring One class 11A is showing. That is the open red Angus females. And then class 15 in the Jim Norick Ring Two is going on right now is the Angus Junior Show. So anyway, that's what's happening up there. Remember, tomorrow I'll be broadcasting live from the Cattlemen's Congress up there, and I'll be at the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association booth because I just found out I have electricity, Wi-Fi. Tell you what, if you ever got an issue, call Lori Campbell. She'll get you fixed right up. Anyway, so I got everything I need up there, and I got a little different setup. I had out Amarillo, so it should be no different than me talking right now in the studio. So we got it going on out there. Let's see what's going on in the Texas Panhandle. Let's go with McLean, Texas for the update out there. Currently it's 36, wind chills 29, humidity is 100%, dew point 36, wind is out of the southeast at 11 miles an hour with gust up to 14, peak wind gust today 22 miles an hour. Month-to-date precipitation 0.01. Fog was in there probably this morning. Red flag minutes today 0. Sub-freezing minutes today 171 minutes. And the 8-inch soil temperature in McLean, Texas is 43 degrees. There's your Texas Panhandle Agriculture update. And according to one of my informants, they actually started on that bridge about a year ago today. This month, or not today, but this month. So anyway, hey, you guys, looks like the Cotton King from Washtenaw County is going to be at the Cattlemen's Congress tomorrow, and I'll have a chair set up for him if you guys want to come by and get an autograph from him and shoot the bull with him. If you want to talk cotton, he's your man. Anyway, that'll teach him to text that in to me. Anyway, yeah, Cotton King, Jimmy Rhodes, live from the farm, is going to be up there. Maybe I might even let him talk for a minute or two on the show tomorrow. So, anyway, we'll see what's happening there. All right, let's see what the up-to-date markets are. And it just updated on me. Corn, March, 465, unchanged, basically. May's 478, unchanged. So is July at 488. Soybeans for January, 1262, down 7. March 1267 down 9, May 1276 down 8. Soybean meal for January $380.20. There we go. Down 80 cents. March is $377.80 down 260. May is $377.90 down 140. Soybean oil for January $48.10 up 31. March is 48.01 down 59, and May's 48.39 down 60. Hard red winter wheat in the positive side finally. March 6.26 up almost 5. May is 6.29, same thing, and so is July at 6.33. And then we get over here to cotton. It's a little bit in the red, not terrible. March cotton's 80.29 down 64. May is 81.49 down 59, and July is 82.27 down 52. Crude oil from West Texas, February 72.31 down 39, and March is 72.45 down 44. And natural gas, February 282 up 16, March is 255 up 10. All right, looks like the Dow and the S&P are up a little bit, and the Nasdaq's in the red. Let's see here. February, live cattle, 171.12, down 72. April, 174.22, down 52. June, 171.52, down 45. August, 171.80, down 50. Feeder cattle for January, 224.85. But let's back up here. It just flashed on me. January's 224.87, down 120. March is 225.90, down 112. April's 231.37, down 117. May feeder cattle, 236.35, down 122. Lean hogs are in the green today. February 68.80, down 350. Up 350. April 74.42, up 222. May is 81.25, up 137. And June is 89.47, up 137. And there is your update. Finally, we'll get back to normal next week on this show with the cattle markets opening back up this week. We'll get some results. All right, a couple things I need to talk to you guys about as soon as I find them. Where is that? Oh, man, where'd it go? Might have lost it. Anyway, here it is. I got it. I found it. Mark your calendar on this thing. This is January 17th. It's a Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Custer County Fairgrounds in Clinton, Oklahoma. Most of you guys know where it's at. There's on south of 183 down there. The Oklahoma State University Extension offices out of Warsaw County, Custer, Beckham, and Roger Mills are putting on this. And this is going to be an awesome deal. They're going to have speakers there, and it's the Four County Beef Seminar is what it's called. Daryl Peel's going to be there. You know, he's one of the best extension livestock marketing specialists in the country as far as I'm concerned. He's going to be there. Marty New, Extension West Area Livestock Specialist, is going to be there. And Dr. Biggs, the DBM from the Beef Cattle Extension Specialist, is going to be there. And the topics are going to be cattle marketing and futures, cow-calf nutrition, risk management, and veterinarian recruitment for Western Oklahoma. That's going to be, put that on your schedule. I'm going to broadcast live from over there on that deal, and that's the day I'm talking to the pecan lady from OSU. So this is going to be an OSU day all day, January the 17th. So anyway, put that on your calendar for the Four County Beef Seminar. How about that? All right. And then if you noticed on social media last night, if you seen any of that on, I think just Facebook, the North Fork Conservation District put out a deal on a new program that the state of Oklahoma's come out with through the Agriculture Department, through the conservation deal. And it's called SHIP, S-H-I-P. So I want you guys just to hold that thought until next week, because Cassandra's going to come on. She's going to go get learned up on what she's supposed to be telling producers out there. But it's going to be really interesting. It's a three-year program, and I think you guys are going to be interested in it. So I'll just leave it right there, but be prepared. Next Wednesday or Thursday, Cassandra's going to come on. It's going to be a really good program for people to join in and sign up for on regenerative farming and ranching and all kinds of stuff. So it's going to be pretty cool. And there's a lot that goes on in the urban area too, with pollinator plots and high tunnels and stuff like that. So it's going to be pretty interesting. Well, let's go ahead and take it. Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. And when we come back, we've got some ag news in the making. Be right back.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
If you need something and you could buy it now cheaper than later, it makes sense to buy it now. Lyle's giving you the opportunity to do the sensible thing. If you need ag tires, they're on sale until January 15th in Blair. Blair Tire and Feed's having a sale on all in-stock ag tires, including Firestone. The whole crew appreciates your business this year, and they're looking forward to helping you next year. Blair Tire and Feed at Highway 283 and 19. Pay less right now for all in-stock ag tires. This deal's good till January 15th.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom mats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
SEI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SEI Agritech, 1400 South Randall in Elk City, with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. The new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here is your ag weather for northwestern Oklahoma. Picked the big city of Alva. Currently it's 44, feels like 39, dew points at 34, humidity 67. Winds are out of the east southeast at 10 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 0.05 inches, 5/100ths of an inch. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 38 degrees. 1-day average fractional water, 1. Sunset at 5:31. Today, 46, mostly cloudy. Tonight, 90% chance of rain and snow, 32 for a low. And tomorrow, rain, snow likely, 70% chance, and 38 degrees. And there we got. Anyway, hey, the new Penny News come out this morning if you ain't got one. And anyway, I just wanted to let you know that the buy of the week at Atwoods is pretty cool. 27-gallon heavy-duty tote was normal, almost $12. It's $9.99. And anyway, so need some storage totes. Those black ones with the yellow lids on them are pretty good, so you better get up there and get them by. Also, I had a listener send me a message last night. We were talking about blow dryers yesterday and drying out calves. Walls has got all their stuff on sale over here at Elk City next to United with those blow dryers. So if you want to go get you a couple of them, they're probably going to be pretty cheap. I think 25% off or 20% off. Anyway, you need some blow dryers, put in your pickup for calving season, now's your time to go get it. Anyway, and also in the Panty News, if you open up to the Today in Ag pages, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Jerry Nines got his column in there, but this caught my attention here. This year's cattle market has been quite a ride. How do you go from $162 in February, fat cattle, to $196 and then back to $162? Or March feeders topped out at $270 in the middle of September and by December 7th back down to $210. It boils down to the people who have money control that control the market. It's been that way for 100 years, and you've heard me and Brandon talk about that quite a bit on the deal. All right, I'm going to get into a little bit of gardening on this segment here. So for gardeners who want to reuse their potting soil but do not need or want to sterilize it, focus should be on refreshing the mix. This is essential for replacing nutrients, reactivating the mix's ability to retain moisture and enhance the structure and stability of the mix, so it's less likely to pull away from the sides of the pot. And the reason why I'm talking about this today, there's a lot more people out here growing flowers and vegetables, everything out of protein tubs or them big 5-gallon looking soft bags you see. So I'm bringing this up today so you guys can check this out with your, where you know whether you need to replace it or you can add to it. So whether you plan to grow vegetables, herbs, or annuals, one will need to refurnish the old potting soil before reusing. So here's some of the steps you need to take. Dump the used potting soil into a wheelbarrow or onto a tarp using a bucket as a casual way to measure the quality quantity you have. Sift through the pile with gloved hands to remove any old roots, dead stems, or other debris, and break up any compacted chunks. For every 2 buckets of used potting soil, add 1 bucket of new organic matter. This could be homemade compost from your compost bin, worm castings, aged manure, leaf mold, or mushroom compost. The ideal is to have 2 parts old soil to 1 part compost or other organic matter. Replenish the nutrients with the addition of complete organic granular fertilizer. Add a half a cup of balanced fertilizer, such as 10, 10, 10, for every 5 gallons of soil mix. Blend everything together. Use a shovel to mix it well. Stir, spray the soil mix with water until it has the moisture level of a wrung out sponge, and keep stirring. This can take a while for mixes that were very dry or old, or as they may repel moisture at first, rather than absorb it. Let the mix set overnight, add more water, stir it again the next day if necessary. Refill your containers with the mix and plant. Okay, so when should you not reuse potting soil? Occasionally there are problems with old potting soil mixes that should serve as a red flag. If you see any of these issues, don't reuse that. Get rid of it. If water failed to move through the mix and the drainage was extremely poor, do not reuse this potting soil. Too much soil moisture for extended periods of time can resolve in a buildup and lead to root rot, not to mention how smelly waterlogged soil can be. If the potting media sprouted weeds, it may contain more weed seeds and should not be reused. One would have to be willing to sterilize it. Potting soils that show signs of extreme compaction should not be reused. If soil was difficult to break up after dumping it out of the pot, skip it. Don't reuse it. Potting soils that grow mold, mushrooms, moss, or algae should not be reused. While the problem could be simple pH issue, it also could be something worse. Better to be safe than sorry. If plants leave fruits or stems show signs of disease, various such as bacteria, viruses, or fungus may be present in the soil, the risk of reintroduction is simply not worth it. So don't reuse that soil. There are many pests that lay eggs in soil, including slugs, earwigs, flea beetles, cucumber beetles, and others. If insects plague the container plants when you had them going, replace that potting soil mix before the next growing season. What else can you do with old mixes? Used potting soil can be repurposed in other ways if you do not want to use it in the containers. It can always be added to the compost pile. You use it to pot up divisions of perennials to share with friends. Since the new plants will only be there in their old pots for a brief time, it's okay to use the old soil. Some gardeners opt to bury used potting soil beneath their garden soil, while others turn it into the flower beds. I opt not to put it in my garden because if it didn't do worth a crap to start with, I don't need it in my garden. So anyway, I'm thrilled with the garden I got going right now. It's the one that I took and tilled up, and then I put hand spread some cereal rye on it, and then I spread 1 foot of rye straw hay on it, and it's got all this rain on it. The rye's growing up in it, and here in about a month, I'm gonna till it lightly to get that rye straw mixed in with the soil, and then I'm gonna leave it alone. Then I'll be no-till from now on. So with the garden. So anyway, everything's looking pretty good on that one. And what else do we got? I want to throw this out there at you, let you guys know what's happening with inflation and the strength of the American dollar, because that's what's kind of causing us some issues right now. Relative to other currencies, the U.S. dollar has been strong the past couple of years, and experts say it's one of the factors hampering commodity exports. Inflation has Americans saying a dollar just doesn't stretch as far as it used to. Similarly, when looking at the exchange rate and the price of U.S. commodities, China is saying the yen just doesn't stretch as far as it used to either. Other currencies, the U.S. dollar has been strong the past couple of years, and experts says it's one of the factors hampering the commodity exports. Tanner Akamite, I guess that's how you say that, the CoBank's lead economist for grains and oilseeds, explained higher interest rates, which the U.S. Federal Reserve has implemented in its attempt to fight inflation, has encouraged investment in the U.S. dollar and help drive up its value, making exchange rates challenging with other countries. That's a problem for our exports, because our foreign buyers have to buy dollars first before they buy our product. They have to buy strong dollars, and so forth, they can't buy as much. It's just like when we go to the grocery store with inflation. Pre-inflation, $100 would buy a full grocery cart. Now $100 only buys half a grocery cart. And the same thing overseas, because our dollar is so strong, they can't buy as many cargoes from us, soybeans or train cars of wheat or containers of almonds. Chad Hart, Iowa State University Extension economist, says interest rates aren't the only reason investors are flocking to the dollar. When we see things like the war between Israel and Hamas or between Ukraine and Russia, the dollar tends to get stronger, because people invest in dollar as a safe haven investment. People believe in it, trade in it, and rely upon it when things go bad. The strengthening of the commodity prices alongside the dollar is in recent years has been remarkable, he says. If the dollar gets stronger, usually our prices get weaker. If we look at the events from 2020 to 2022, we saw what the dollar was getting stronger, and so was crop prices. He noticed the pattern now has returned. So there you got it. Anyway, one of the other things they said about on the global part, first of all, there's been record corn and soybean production out of Brazil. That's not helping, and so they've been extremely competitive in the marketplace. Also, Russia's record wheat production and record wheat exports have been tough on anyone else trying to compete in the marketplace going forward. So anyway, he said there were times in 2023 when Brazilian soybeans were priced so low, U.S. soybeans couldn't compete regardless of how strong or weak the dollar might have been. And one else, let's see here. I think that's about it. So there you have it. Well, let's go ahead and take Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills Farm Bureau there in Cheyenne, Oklahoma. And we'll come back. We got other things to discuss before the show's over.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, December 18th. 1,042 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 431 brought 313. 6 at 486 brought 279. 3 at 572 brought 239. 25 at 680 brought 241. 4 at 705 brought 235. 7 at 765 brought 233. 5 head of heifers at 442 brought 245. 20 at 631 brought 216. 15 at 644 brought 220. 6 at 698 brought 205. 20 at 727 brought 206. 39 at 829 brought 194. Butcher cows were 58 to 112. Butcher bulls brought 88 to 117. Bred cows were 1360 to 2025. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Mr. Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-0677.
Beef. That's what's on the menu at Hudson Angus Farms. Their 11th annual bull and female sale is Saturday, January 27th at 1 p.m. at the farm west of Elk City. They're selling 70 yearling to 2-year-old bulls and 20 bred heifers. To see the catalog and videos, go to their website, HudsonAngusFarms.com, or find Hudson Angus Farms on Facebook. The Hudson Angus Farms Spring Bull Sale, Saturday, January 27th. Lunch at noon, sale starts at 1 o'clock west of Elk City.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Nothing like getting orders from the boss during break. So, anyway, Hollis, Oklahoma, here's your Hobart Farming Garden ag weather update. 41 there, feels like 34. Dew point's 41. Humidity is 100%. Moisture's coming, boys. Moisture's coming. The winds are out of the east-southeast at 12 miles an hour. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 42. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.8. And sunset, 541. 46 and cloudy today. Tonight, 100% chance of rain showers and 36. Tomorrow, 49 and partly cloudy with the wind switching from the southeast and becoming out of the northwest, 6 to 12 miles an hour. So that is your weather update from out there. And let's see here, what else we got here going on here. I seen what I wanted to do here. Bear with me here a second. Oh, so I come across this deal where they were talking about some farm and ranch custom rates at the end of the year. And here is, thought you guys would enjoy some of this, what the cost of tillage, chemical application, planting, whatever. Anyway, they're saying here that disking with the offset in Oklahoma is running around 11, 12 bucks. Disking with a tandem around 12 bucks. Spike tooth harrow, $8 an acre. This is for custom work. Fertilizer and chemical applications, dry fertilizer around $6 to $7 an acre. Applying liquid fertilizer around $6 an acre. Applying liquid fertilizer side dress, $8 an acre. And then we got applying liquid fertilizer and lime application, almost $10 an acre. And ground application, applying herbicides with boom sprayer, around $6.50 to $7. And then we got, what else here? Let's keep on strolling down here to some stuff. Planting rates, air seeder, conventional tillage, small grains with fertilizer, around $17 an acre to $20. I'm just giving you some averages. Drill, small grains, conventional tillage, around $12.50 to $15 an acre. And then drill, small grains, no-till, $16 an acre. There you have it on that. Haying, mowing hay, $17 an acre. I don't know anybody was doing that for $17 an acre. Anyway, no, in western Oklahoma, it was around $23 an acre. Swathing and baling, about the same thing. Small square bales, baling, $2.05 a piece. Cost of hay and operations cutting to stacking small squares. The kids that don't stack hay anymore, small square bales, $2.22 a bale. Is that right? Yeah, that's for cutting to stack. Yeah, flat rate for hauling small bales, $1.05 on a trailer. Square large square bales, baling, 4 foot, $18 a bale, and up to $20 a bale. Let's see here, combining, anywhere from small grains, anywhere from $25 to $30 a acre. And this was average the last year. This is averages. Some might be higher, some might be lower. Base rate for combining small grains, around $24 to $30. Extra charge per bushel, around a quarter. And then for excess over XX bushels per acre, $21.68. Flat rate for hauling small grains, around a quarter. And I think things have gone up since this. I don't know if this thing's really going. AI and cattle, $12 a piece. Brandon cattle says $115, so that must be freeze branding. And then Brandon cattle, there we go, $465 per cow. Castrating cattle, $87.80. Castrating cattle at $528 per head. Shoot fee, $4. Custom feeding wing calves, $237. I guess that's per head per day. Custom feeding calving out cows, $1.44 per head. I ain't calving nobody's cattle out for that. And then custom feeding wintering pregnant beef cows, $1.68 per head per day. Dehorning cattle, $13. Pregnancy test, about $5. Processing cattle, around $129.83. And I don't know, that's per day, for the day, or per head, about $14.39 per head. Spraying cattle, $240. Worming cattle, $443. Hauling cattle belly semi truck, $550 minimum. Hauling cattle belly semi truck per mile, $392 a mile. And I know it's higher than that. So I don't know where they're getting their numbers, but I need to find out who's doing that for what, see if they're doing a good job. Anyway, oh, what else we got here? Oh, I needed to read this from the text line. The Leedy Ag Boosters annual calf fry and trophy auction will be Friday, January 12th. That's a week from tomorrow at 6:30 in the Leedy Gym. Booster Club members also have raffle tickets for sale to win a New Mexico mountain lion hunt. Only 250 tickets are being sold for that. I wonder what they is. Well, hey, if you're listening, what's the cost per raffle ticket? Anyway, that'd be pretty fun. New Mexico hunting a mountain lion with just your bare hands and a knife. No timer. Anyway, so Leedy Ag Boosters annual calf fry and trophy auction is Friday, January 12th at 6:30 in the Leedy Gym. Calf fries are my favorite. Okay, a lot of corn being grown in western Oklahoma nowadays, and sounds like there's going to be more planted in the future. So I thought I'd let you guys know about the difference between the cost production between here and Brazil, because Brazil's our biggest adversary on this. Although the cost of production rose in both countries last year in 2023, U.S. corn growers have an advantage over their Brazilian rivals with lower per bushel costs, said four agriculture economists at the FarmDoc Daily blog. The United States grows three times as much corn as Brazil, but Brazil is forecast to become the world's top corn exporter for the second year in a row. U.S. yields are per acre are much higher than in Brazil, and that helps defray direct production costs that include fertilizer, seed, pesticides, storage, drying, and crop insurance. Direct costs average $1.96 per bushel in central Illinois and $2.24 a bushel in Mato Grosso, that'd be in Brazil, two high-volume corn-producing regions. On a per-acre basis, costs are lower in Brazil. Fertilizer, drying, and storage costs are higher in Brazil. Direct costs have been on the rise in both regions since 2016. They were the highest ever down there in 2022-23, though a decline is expected for the 23-24 growing year, which is also in line with cost projections in Illinois, wrote agriculture economist Joanna Calasa, Nick Polson, Gary Shanaki, however you say that, at the University of Illinois, and then Carl Soloff of Ohio State University. The USDA recently said that Brazil has improved in export competitiveness with the United States over the past decade by paving roads, building rail lines, and opening export terminals. Brazil's forecast to export more than twice the volume of soybeans as the United States during the current trade year, 99.5 million metric tons versus our 47.8 metric tons, million metric tons. How about that? Them guys are killing us. Yeah, but they're destroying the rain, rainforest at the very same time down there. Let's see here. $50 a ticket. $50 a ticket for drawing on the New Mexico mountain lion hunt. That's pretty good. Anyway, so see, a hell of a lot more than I got for hauling hay in the 80s. That's no joke. It's a dime a bale. If I remember right, in the 80s, early 80s it was, 10 cents a bale. Yep, you're right, $1.05. So anyway, last thing before we go out of here, I guess you guys probably have heard it, but I'm going to put it back in the ears of some people that may not have heard it. Missouri bans foreign adversary countries from purchasing farmland near their military bases. Why not just ban them, period? The Missouri governor, Mike Parson, announced January 2nd that he has banned individuals and businesses from nations designated as foreign adversaries from purchasing agricultural land within a 10-mile radius of critical military facilities in the state of Missouri. Nations currently classified in that deal is China, Cuba, Iran, North Korea, Russia, and Venezuela. Interesting. With heightened concerns regarding ownership of Missouri farmland by foreign adversaries, especially China, we are signing this order to safeguard our military and intelligence assets, prevent security threats to our state, and give Missourians greater peace of mind, Governor Parson said. When it comes to China and other foreign adversaries, we must take common sense precautions to protect Missourians and our security resources. Why not just ban them from the state like Arkansas? Executive Order 2401, issued by Governor Parson, bans any citizen, resident, or business from a foreign adversary. For the purpose of this order, critical military facilities refers to all staff military facilities in Missouri. The order does not affect existing landowners. And there is some pretty high priority military bases in Missouri. The one, what's the name of it? It's on your way from Kansas City to the Lake of the Ozarks. Anyway, I can't even remember the name. I do know what's there, and that's the B-2 stealth bomber, that bad-to-the-bone bomber that you can't hear until it's too late. And then they got Fort Leonard Wood down there in south south central, I think it is, Missouri, southwest, whatever you want to call it. That's where I finished my AIT up in 10-12 inches of snow. So there you go. Let's see, in the last 5 years alone, foreign investment in Missouri has totaled nearly $19 billion and directly supported close to 150,000 Missouri jobs. So that's the reason why they didn't just ban them total, because they got a lot of investment going on in there. But, you know, Germany, Sweden, UK, Japan, they'll be all right. They've had a long presence there in the deal. All right. You guys have a great day today for the rest of the day. We'll see you tomorrow. I won't be live on Facebook tomorrow, sorry, but I will be live on the radio. Anyway, we'll see you guys tomorrow. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. God bless.
Oh, come on. This is fun. Right? Isn't this fun?